God created all things, he looked at it and he said it was good. Now, sometimes we look at things and we try to make things better than good. So we have all these adjectives to say great or wonderful or awesome or whatever it may be. Good is a good word. Jesus looked at something and said it was good. And I'm excited for this man. He is a good man. He is no stranger to this section. He was the Section 6 youth director for a while and now doing an awesome job as the secretary for the state of Indiana. As he comes to this pulpit and delivers the word of God, I want us to lift our hands toward heaven and ask God to minister in our life for the remainder of this service. Lord, you have a great purpose. You have a great design. You have a great plan in store for the remainder of this service and this time. I want to be surrendered to you and your perfect will. I want to be in tune with what it is you have in store. I don't want to miss the mark tonight, oh God. Open my understanding and open my heart to what it is you desire me to know and leave this place with. I lift you up, God. I praise your name. Hallelujah.
Come on, can we continue to give God some praise tonight? Come on, can you continue to give God some praise tonight? Come on, go ahead and take a moment and lift up your voice. Come on, go ahead and take a moment and lift up your hands and lift up your voice that God, we're here to receive from you tonight. Come on, that's it. Somebody dig just a little bit deeper right now that, Lord, I need something from you tonight, God. Lord, I need you, Jesus. Somebody said amen. I just want to say what an honor and privilege it is to be in Section 6 with the best section, don't tell the others, best section in the district. You guys are awesome, and just want to say what an honor and privilege it is to be with you here tonight. And would you give it up for your sectional director, Brother and Sister Bailey? What a tremendous job. What a tremendous job they are doing, and I know that maybe you don't see all that goes into being a sectional director, but my goodness, there's so much work that they put into this, and Brother Bailey, he makes sure that every T is crossed and every I is dotted, and this man, he is doing a phenomenal job in this section, and it's just good to be here. Can I get an amen on that? Thank you to the host church, Brother Hawkins, and my goodness, when is the praise team going on tour? I mean, would you give it up for the praise team and the band? And it is so good to see my pastor, Pastor Noel, here tonight. And it's an honor to always have Miss Cora Lynn with us. I love you, babe. And my wife, Hannah, thank you so much for being here. And turn to your neighbor. Just let them know, my goodness, it is so good to see you. Come on, turn to somebody else that's maybe not a part of your youth group and just kind of reach out for a second. Introduce yourself. Let them know it's good to meet them, good to see them. Come on, go ahead. Get out of your pew. Find somebody you don't know. Amen. And if you would, go to the word with me in 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18, beginning in verse 6. And I'll give you a second to get there or to look up. 1 Samuel chapter 18, beginning in verse 6. And it says, and it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine that the women came out of all cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and they said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth. He was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but just thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed, somebody say Saul eyed. Saul eyed David from that day forward. And I just want to preach to you for a few minutes tonight. How many is going to preach with me? I just want to preach for a few minutes on the subject, look to you. Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, have your way tonight. Lord, I pray that you would minister. I want you to pray for yourself right now, that Lord, in the name of Jesus, prepare my heart, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, prepare my heart, Lord, for this word. Let it fall on fertile soil, Lord, not by the wayside, not on the stony ground, but Lord, let this be firmly planted in my heart, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, have your way in this place. And all God's people said amen, and you may be seated. Just to give you a little bit of background on me, I was born in Houston, Texas. Any Texans in the house? Come on, it's just me and you, Dalen. Just me and you. I was born in Texas, and my parents were in the ministry, and so home was kind of a different location every 4, 5, 6 years. And born in Texas, lived in Missouri, lived in Mississippi, lived in, obviously, Indiana, but spent a large portion of my time in the great state of Wisconsin. Nobody's with me. And coming from Wisconsin, and then now being in Indiana, you can see that there are some drastic differences between Hoosiers and Cheeseheads. And what's interesting is that from state line to state line, we're probably only an hour away from each other, with Chicago kind of in the middle there. But as you start to kind of look at these differences, you see that, my goodness, there are some really unique things that kind of separate us and kind of really show that, my goodness, there are some drastic differences when it comes to Cheeseheads and Hoosiers. One being, in Indiana, we'll say things like, how are you doing? Or maybe if you're on the south side of Indiana, you say, how are y'all doing? But in Wisconsin, they'll say, how you doing there, hey? Yeah. Anybody ever talk to somebody in Wisconsin and they end the question or the sentence with their hey? No, okay, all right. Well, that's what they do. They'll go around and they'll tell you things and they'll say, how's it going? And they'll end their sentences with their hey. And I don't know why they do it, but they do it their hey. And so there's some other things. For instance, here in Indiana, all the ladies, you like to go to Target, right? But in Wisconsin, they don't do Target. They do Shopko. How many's ever heard of Shopko? No? See? All right. So there's some other things here. When you're here grilling out in Indiana, we'll put anything on the grill. Hamburgers and hot dogs and you name it. But in Wisconsin, you better have bratwurst. In Indiana, we like the sport basketball. Come on, where's our basketball fans? But in Wisconsin, it's Lambeau Field and the Green Bay Packers or bust. In Indiana, we go to a thing called the water fountain. How many has been to a water fountain before? And you know what I'm talking when I say a water fountain. In Wisconsin, they call it a bubbler. I remember the first time someone telling me about a bubbler. I'm sitting in church, and my friends lean over to me, and they say, hey, Ryan, we're going to go to the bubbler. And I thought to myself, my goodness, what's going to happen to my friends? You know, they're going to the bubbler. What in the world is a bubbler? But it's funny to kind of compare and contrast Hoosiers to Cheeseheads. But in 1 Samuel chapter 18, we see a not-so-funny story of comparison between Saul and David. A story of comparison where it was one of the greatest upset victories of all time. Young David comes out of nowhere and he defeats the champion Goliath. And we see that Israel begins to rejoice and they begin to celebrate and they begin to dance and they begin to sing. Somebody say sing. They begin to sing, and when they begin to sing, they start to compare the king, King Saul. They start to compare him to the man of the hour, young David. And what we see is that in these lyrics, they begin to say that Saul has struck down his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And when Saul heard this, when he heard them comparing King Saul to young David, the Bible says that it made him angry, that it displeased him. And Saul eyed David from that day on. That his heart and his eyes, they had drifted away from joy and victory and thankfulness, and they now had landed on David. And what had supposed to be a time of joyous celebration, and what was supposed to be a time of victory and thankfulness, it now turned into a time of jealousy due to comparison. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Verse 2. Looking unto our competition, looking unto our enemies, looking unto those that are around us. Come on, somebody help me preach tonight. No. Looking unto Jesus. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so my question to every young person here tonight is that as you are running your race, as you are in the midst of your race, my question to you is, who do you have your eyes on? That when I'm supposed to do what God wants me to do, that instead of doing what God has for me, that I'm busy comparing myself to those that are around me. That instead of focusing on what God has in store for my life, we can find ourselves worried about how we compare to those that are around us. And if you really, really want to confuse your calling, and if you really want to get confused about your purpose, and if you really want to get confused about your life, all you got to do is start comparing your life to others. Because comparison, it will continually cloud the clarity of God's call on your life. That the second that you begin to compare your life to others, you begin to wonder why their prayers got answered and mine didn't. Why you got the miracle and I didn't. Why your family and why your home life looks perfect and mine doesn't. Why you're the one that always gets used and I don't. Come on, somebody. And when we start to size our life up with the lives of others, it will leave us feeling let down and unsatisfied and unqualified. It will cause us to lose faith. It will cause us to lose hope in what God has for us. That's why I'm trying to encourage every young person under the sound of my voice that you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Come on, you got to keep your eyes on the maker of the heavens and the earth. You got to keep your eyes on the Prince of Peace, that he loves you, that he cares for you, that he died for you, that he's looking out for you, that he believes in you, that he has a hope for you, and he has a future for you. So keep your eyes on Jesus. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. It said this, that godliness with contentment is great gain. You can find contentment in knowing that what God has given you is enough. But I'll tell you tonight that we will never be content when we are busy comparing. I'm going to say that again. We will never be content when we are busy comparing. Let me just testify from fourth grade here for a moment. Back in fourth grade, I remember my grandpa saying, "I'm gonna get you whatever shoes you want for Christmas this year." And I'm gonna show my age here. Anybody that's 30 and over and loves basketball or basketball shoes, you're gonna know what I'm talking about. But I pulled out the East Bay catalog. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The old East Bay catalogs. And I started sifting through there and trying to pick out what shoes I want. And I went to Finish Line and Foot Locker. And I'm just looking for the best basketball shoe because Grandpa said, I'll get you whatever basketball shoes you want. So I go and I find the perfect pair of Nikes. And they all I remember in fourth grade, all I remember that they were Nike basketball shoes and they had Velcro. And I thought, these are the coolest thing in the whole world. We didn't have iPhones back then. I'm sorry. It was Velcro or bust. I mean, I just thought that was the coolest thing. And I pointed those out and I said, you know what? Those are the shoes that I want. And sure enough, on Christmas morning, man, it was so awesome. I was opening up all my gifts, and there they are, the Velcro Nikes. And I was wearing them in my room and playing basketball on the little goal in my bedroom, and I just felt like $1 million. And I thought to myself, I can't wait to get to school so that I can show everybody my brand new shoes. How many knows what I'm talking about? So the Monday after Christmas break, I go to school and I'm showing all the fellas off my shoes and I'm showing them the swoosh and I'm showing them the Velcro and they're just as amazed as I am. And we're having a great time until Joey Loy walks into the room. And he looks like he's walking on clouds and he looks like he's just feeling like $1 million. And the reason being, it's because Joey Loy, he got the brand new, never seen before, Air Jordan 11s. The brand new Jordans. And I thought to myself, man, how did I miss those in the East Bay catalog? Those things are rocking. Where in the world? And everybody went from my shoes to checking out Joey's shoes. And man, it was all about the Air Jordan 11s. And I kid you not, I remember pulling Joey over to the side that day and saying, Joey, do you care if we trade? Would it be all right if maybe we trade? I'm sure our parents or our grandparents paid the same price, and I don't think anybody will tell. Do you care if we trade? We didn't trade. But what I'm trying to tell you tonight, young people, is that I loved my shoes, and I loved my gift until I saw his. I loved what I had until I compared it to what he had. And hear me on this. God has equipped you, and God has called you, and God has gifted you, and God has created you to be you. And nobody else can play your role better than you. And I want you to hear this, because all that you have is all that God needs from you. All that you have and all that's been gifted to you and all that the Lord has given you, all of the talents and all of the things that you possess that you can turn around and give to God, all that you have is all that God needs from you. So as you are running your race, you don't need to look to the left and you don't need to look to the right. All you got to do is keep your eyes on Jesus, because all that I have is all that God needs for me. Somebody say comparison. It's a great danger, because what it does is it makes you feel worthless, which is the direct opposite of what you really are. Scripture tells us in Psalm 139 and 14 that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Ephesians 2 and 10, it says that we are his workmanship. Another translation says we are his masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You are a masterpiece. I'm going to stay here a second, because I think our day and age in 2018, there's got to be this status quo that you got to try to live up to. But God is trying to remind somebody that you're a masterpiece. 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 You might be wondering, is he going to go through everybody? And the reason I'm doing this is because if this would get in every young person's heart and soul, It would change the way you wake up in the morning. It would change the way you look at yourself in the mirror. It would change the way you worship. And it would change the way you praise. And it would change the way you look at your future, because you're a masterpiece. Come on, you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. You're a masterpiece. And so for somebody that came in here tonight doubting themselves, for somebody that came in here tonight feeling unqualified, feeling like the misfit, feeling like you just don't quite add up, that maybe you just don't have what you think it takes to qualify, I'm here to remind you tonight that you're a masterpiece in the eyes of God, that you are fearfully and that you are wonderfully made, that you are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You are a masterpiece in the eyes of God. And you know, God, he could have put Paul, writer of a bunch of books in the New Testament, great man of God, he could have put Paul in a time machine. God can do anything, can't he? He could have put Paul in a time machine and put him here in 2018, right here in Bloomington, Indiana. He's got just cause. It's crazy out there, right? Our schools are a wreck. All sorts of turmoil's taking place. Political mess. People are doing horrible things and it's being seen as good, and people that are doing good, it's being seen as horrible things. God could have put Paul in 2018, but he didn't. He put you in 2018. He put you in your high school for a reason. He put you in Ellettsville. He put you in Bloomington. He put you in Martinsville. Come on, somebody. He put you here, and it's because he trusts you, and he believes in you, and he's chosen you. So I pray tonight that we can shake off the trap of comparison, so that we can lift up our eyes and see that there's a destiny, so that we can rise up and know that I am a child of God. Come on, there's a young person that needs to hear this tonight. You aren't just a mistake. You aren't just here and wasting space. You aren't just here and buying up time. You are here for a reason. You are a child of God. You are called according to his purpose. You are chosen. Come on, somebody. You're part of a royal priesthood and a chosen generation. You are appointed of God and anointed of God. And so somebody ought to lift up your eyes tonight and stop comparing yourself and stop worrying about how I don't add up and how I don't fit in and how I just might not have the pedigree and how maybe I'm not going to make it. I'm trying to let somebody know you just got to lift up your eyes and focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're a masterpiece tonight. Come on, there's value in you. God created you for a reason. He's got a purpose for you and a plan for you and a future for you. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's interesting, if you go back to 1 Samuel, we started tonight reading in chapter 18, but it's interesting if you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's before the fight. It's before the big battle. And it says that the armies were facing each other, that they were getting ready for battle, that they were kind of sizing each other up and, you know, who's going to go out there and what are we going to do and what's the battle plan? And they're looking at each other and trying to figure things out. And the Bible says out comes the champion Goliath. And when Goliath comes out, the Bible tells us that the men of Israel saw Goliath. That when they saw Goliath, when they saw that he was 6 cubits high, when they saw that he had a helmet of brass, and when they saw that he had a coat that weighed 5,000 shekels and it was made of brass, when they saw his spear and when they saw his armor and when they saw him, they compared what they didn't have to what Goliath did have. Y'all hearing me? And the Bible says that when they saw that, they fled. And they were sore afraid. But there was someone that rose up. When everybody else was running away and when everybody was afraid, there was a young David that stepped up to the plate, that rose up in the time where they needed him most, and no, on paper, he probably wasn't the perfect candidate. He didn't have the battle background. He didn't have the armor. He didn't have the shield. He didn't have the sword. He was way too young to be doing this. But David wasn't looking at his inability. He was looking at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and his ability. And so I wonder what kind of mountain we could move and what kind of giant we could destroy if we started getting our eyes off of our inability and started focusing on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and his ability. That the Lord will deliver you. That the Lord is greater. That the Lord will see me through. That the Lord will provide it for me. As the musicians come, if we could stand. Come on, would you just lift up your hands towards heaven right now? We're not done, but I wonder if we could just go ahead and lift up our hands, lift up our voice to the Lord. Come on, somebody just begin to talk to God right now. So I got a daughter, it's almost 2 years old, and I've got her favorite toy right here. We've come a long way from Velcro to this thing. It's her favorite toy. She loves to play with this thing. She'll take hours taking the little blocks out and trying to put them back in, and has a blast with it, and she's pretty brilliant. She does a pretty good job. Most of the time, she gets it every time. Mom and I like to watch her and help her. And every once in a while, every once in a while, she'll get hung up. Every once in a while, she'll get one and be trying to put it into the wrong section, or she'll get the little bear turned and can't quite get it. And every once in a while, she'll have a little time there where she needs some help. And I'm so thankful that she turns to me, and this is what she does. Instead of just giving up and running away, she'll take these little blocks and she'll hand it to me. And I'm thankful that she does that, because she's recognizing that in her inability, there's someone here that can help her put the pieces back together. And it reminds me of a verse that says that my strength is made perfect in weakness. That when I don't have the ability, I can lift up towards the King of Kings, and I can lift up towards the Maker of the heavens and the earth, and I can give it to him, and he can help put the pieces back together in my life. And I feel this in the Holy Ghost, that there are people under the sound of my voice that you are trying to handle things on your own. You're trying to handle high school on your own. You're trying to handle relationships on your own. You're trying to handle temptation on your own. You're trying to handle sin on your own. You're trying to handle dating on your own. And I don't mean to be rude, and I don't want to step on toes, but you cannot handle it on your own ability. You cannot handle temptation on your own ability. You cannot handle your future with your own ability. There's got to be a young person that lifts up your eyes and say, God, I need you in my life. That I need your help. That I need you, Lord, to lead me. I need you to guide me, because that is where your help comes from. That is where your strength comes from. That is where your power comes from. That is where your direction comes from. That is where your guidance comes from. That's where your joy comes from. That's where your peace comes from. I want you to lift up your hands right now. And I pray in the name of Jesus that every young person that feels a tug on their heart, I pray that you would begin to make a way down to this altar. That, Lord, I don't have the ability to face everything on my own. Come on, I'm pleading with somebody to make your way down to an altar. Come on, don't let tonight pass you by. Don't let tonight go by without getting your blessing, without getting a touch from God, without calling out to Him. That, Lord, I cannot make it on my own. I need you in my life, God. Come on, I feel it in the Holy Ghost right now that there's a young person saying, God, I need your strength. I need your power, Lord. I need your direction, God. I need your guidance, Lord. I need the Holy Ghost to stir up my soul, God. Come on, I wonder right now if there's a young person that would just begin to lift up your voice. Come on, that's it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I can't handle it on my own, God. The things that I'm facing and the things that I'm going through, Lord. Come on, that's it. Somebody dig deep right now. The Lord, I need you, God. I've got to look to you, Lord. I need your strength. I need your peace. I need your direction. Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray against the enemy right now. I pray against the enemy, Lord, in their life, God. I pray against fear. Lord, I pray against doubt, Lord. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would stir up our spirit right now. Come on, that's the Holy Ghost in this place. Move throughout our hearts. Move throughout our spirit, Lord. Move in our home, God. Move in our relationships, God. Move in our schools, Lord. We need you more than ever in our school. We need you more than ever in our workplace. We need you more than ever in our home. God, help us to look to you. Come on, that's it. Somebody lift up their voice right now. Come on, you go ahead and declare the victory tonight. Come on, somebody go ahead and declare the victory. That I'm not looking at my inability. I'm looking to the King of Kings. And I'm looking to the Lord of Lords. Come on, that's it. Rise up tonight. That's it. Lord, I surrender. Come on, somebody surrender right now. Surrender, Lord.